The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
I am so excited about today's podcast because I'm going to delve into something that is legend from where I am from. I am from San Antonio, and it has been legend for many, many years. And this legend is partially based on fact, partially based on myth. And it has to do with rock star Ozzy Osbourne. Did he pee on the Alamo after a concert stop in San Antonio many, many years ago? And we're going to get right to the bottom of it on the podcast today because joining us is his son, Jack Osbourne, who is host of Jack and Ozzy's World Detour on A&E. Jack is standing by, and that will be the first thing we talk about when we have Jack on the air with us. Also joining us on our podcast today is one of my favorite guys, David Yesko, the Vegas guru. You need to follow him on Twitter. In fact, go to our website, travelwithhawkeye.net, click on our blog. We'll have a blog post on this episode, and we'll have links to his Twitter account because he always has great deals and great ideas to do in Vegas, and we'll be talking to him shortly. But first off, from A&E's Jack and Ozzy's World Detour is Jack Osbourne, the son of Ozzy Osbourne. Good day, Jack.
Top of the morning to you.
Wow, it is a true pleasure to work with you and to talk to you this morning. First of all, I want to say congratulations on a brand new season of Ozzy and Jack's World Detour.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
And I'm a big fan, and I'm going to tell you why I'm a big fan, because you kicked off your show. When I tell you where I'm from, you're going to know why I'm a big fan. I'm from San Antonio, and you guys visited San Antonio at one of your very first shows, which I thought was probably one of the coolest things that you guys ever did.
It was definitely a memorable experience in San Antonio, I'll tell you that.
Let me kind of set the stage for people who don't know. And I'm the only reason I would not have brought this up had you guys not done an episode on this and brought it up yourself. And I thought that was courageous because you could have just glossed over it. But there was a story, and there was a lot of misleading facts about the story, that your dad, Ozzy Osbourne, urinated on the Alamo. That actually did not happen, but he was arrested for public urination, and he urinated on the Cenotaph, which is across the street from the Alamo. It's all part of the same complex.
But the funny thing about that is that we're like, hey, you didn't actually pee on the Alamo. You peed on a war memorial.
Yes. So yeah. It's I know. Yes, it probably is actually worse, but yes, true. I would give that. But you guys actually addressed it and visited the Alamo and learned a lot about the Alamo on your show. And I thought that was so cool that you guys addressed it.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it was funny. Like, that literally was like when we were talking, when the show kind of came to, like, when we were developing it. That was the first thing we said we had to do. It's like, we had to go back to the Alamo. We had to do an episode about it, and also my dad's involvement. And it was funny, when we were talking to one of the museums, like, because it's a kind of a museum, and like it's run by like the Park Services, they turned around and they said, you know, they get more questions about whether my dad peed on the Alamo than they do about the actual events of the Alamo.
And and your dad actually not only apologized years ago, but he actually made a donation to the Daughters of the Republic of Texas, who at the time ran the Alamo. A lot of people don't know that either.
It's pretty interesting.
I get asked about that all the time in San Antonio, also being from San Antonio, and I wrote a book called San Antonio Uncovered, so people are always asking me about that. And you know, I always would tell people, you know, it's not, because the way it was painted at the time was like he was this huge act of defiance, and it was nothing like that at all.
No, he was literally just apparently, well, as he recalled, walking back to his hotel, he was drunk, he stopped to take a pee.
And an international incident occurred. But since then, also, he's performed in San Antonio, and he's embraced there now, so all is good. So that's it's a kind of a happy ending in a way, and it is in an interesting way, and you can address this too. Your dad has become a very lovable character.
Yeah, he very much has. You know, I think that the lovable character was always there, just it was hidden, you know, beneath a vast amount of alcohol.
You know what? And so we never really knew that. It wasn't until you guys were on that reality show, that was one of the very first ever reality shows like that, that we actually got to see the, you know, another side of your dad outside of, you know, this hellion rock and roll star. And it was kind of eye opening. And that's also where we got to know you and your sister. And from that, I should mention that your sister is going to be part of the series this year also, correct?
Yeah, she jumped on the bandwagon. We couldn't You know, we couldn't keep her at bay for too much longer. She wanted to have some fun.
Well, what we're going to see in this year's season of your show, Ozzie and Jack's World Detour, where will you guys be headed to?
So we start in California, and we kind of zigzag our way back across the country to Florida. And we had to get my dad to his first show of his tour. And so we had a bit of a ticking clock. And there's all sorts of things, too. Like, we wanted to incorporate music a lot more into this season. And so everywhere we go, we experience some kind of musical performance from a band that has a very unique sound to the area that we're visiting. And so it's really, I don't know, it's different once again. And then Kelly's in the mix, so there's a strong female presence, which changed the dynamic even more so.
I understand, and I don't know what this is, but there's a stop at an explosion school in Missouri. Did I read that correct?
Yes, we went. There's a university in Missouri, and they have a explosion school for to teach people how to blow things up. You can get a full degree in it.
So I guess that would be if you wanted to, for instance, implode a building by using explosives, this is where you would go to learn that skill. Am I on the right track?
Yes, and also, their main thing was, mining. So
okay.
You're a miner and, blow up stuff to mine it, that's where you go.
Okay, all right. Now, also, intertwined in this series this year is the fact that you're expecting a child. Now, how's the timeline work? I mean, have you already had your child and that was pre-taping, or are you about to have the child? What's going on there with you?
So my youngest is now 5 months. And it was tough to get this everything going. I mean, I was stressed out because my dad's tour started in April. They greenlit the show in January, and my baby arrived in February. And so it was a lot of moving parts. It was very tense for a while.
Well, I'm glad that was able to all work out and everything. And man, how's it having a baby at the house?
There's a lot of poop. There's a lot of poop in my life. Three kids, it's there's unicorns and poop.
Rock and roll, man. That's rock and roll. Boy, how your life is amazing how your life changes when you have kids, does it not?
Oh, it really does, and I love it. I love being a dad. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Well, continued success with Ozzie and Jack's World Detour. It's such an out-there show. It's so different from anything else, any other travel show, and just seeing America through your eyes is a lot of fun, and really enjoyed having you today.
Hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
Once again, you can check out Jack Osborne's show, Jack and Ozzie's World Detour, on A&E. Joining us now, a man we know as the Vegas guru, David Yeskel. And David, before we talk Las Vegas and all its things that are for tourists, I need to talk about something. I'm going to ask, even though this has passed, I want to just quickly mention the run by the Vegas Knights, the NHL team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals. Everybody had to be talking about that in Las Vegas.
You know, everybody but the Vegas sports books were crazy about it.
Yeah, because they were going to have to pay a lot if they won. The odds were incredible if the Knights ended up winning. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, the whole city was so behind the team. It was great to see. Really great to see.
Yeah, it was really neat, too, because, there was a lot of question, are they going to be able to support a franchise? Because it's such a, it's just a different kind of community. So tourist-based, and people are wondering that. But obviously that question was answered in your number one. All right, well, let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, there's an event in Vegas, and you had a chance to go to it, called Vegas Uncorked. And this is an incredible event. It happens once a year. And though it passed, and I want to tell people about this so they can put it on their calendar for 2019.
Yeah, sure. So this is, I'll be the first to admit, Hawkeye, that Vegas is a town where the hype often exceeds the actual experience. But Vegas Uncorked was an example of the expectations and the experience actually exceeding the hype. This is an incredible culinary event. And for anybody who's a foodie or likes to think they're a foodie, you shouldn't miss this. This is really the country's premier culinary and wine festival. Spans 4 days in May, typically over a weekend. And it's scaled up appropriately for Vegas. So there's multiple events all up and down the strip for about 4 days, dinners and brunches with individual chefs in their restaurants where they're preparing the meal for you. You're getting to talk to them. And those are for smaller groups, maybe about 100 people each. But there are two weekend highlight events, and they're the biggest events, and they are Picnic at the Park and the Grand Tasting. So Picnic in the Park is this beautiful affair at an area called the Park, just outside of the new Park MGM, which used to be the Monte Carlo, just recently officially rebranded as the Park MGM. It's a beautiful new upscale resort. And this Picnic at the Park is MGM Resort's top restaurants and top chefs from across their 12 properties on the Strip, showcasing their top dishes. And there's open bars, and each chef is there, you know, preparing one or two of their top specialty dishes. And you just, it's in the afternoon, it's beautiful, they decorate it beautifully, and it's just grazing. You're grazing on all these great dishes. And it's $199 a person. That includes all you can drink, all you can eat. It's really a beautiful affair.
It sounds like quite the party, too.
It is a great party, but the mega event of the weekend is called the Grand Tasting.
Oh, that's not even the mega event.
Right, the mega event is the Grand Tasting. This is at Caesar's Palace, so they essentially shut down the entire pool complex, this Garden of the Gods pools, and there are 8 pools there, by the way. And so it's a massive area. And all the top chefs in Vegas, from MGM Resorts, from Caesar's Entertainment, from the Venetian, the Palazzo, from the Cosmopolitan, set up booths there, and they're there cooking their food. 50 chefs are there, each with their individual booth representing their restaurant, and about 25 bars with wines and top shelf spirits. So it's all you can eat, all you can drink, and it's kind of like a Roman bacchanal, just without the sex. It's just this amazing, amazing event, and it's 3 hours long. You taste all this incredible food that, you know, would cost you a lot more, of course, if you're going into the restaurant individually.
Yeah.
But for people into chef worship, as I am, you know, let me just drop some names.
Okay.
Of some of the chefs. Nobu, Morimoto, Guy Savoy, Julian Serrano, Giada De Laurentiis, the cake boss, Buddy Velastro, was there. Jean-Georges Van Gerichten, Gordon Ramsay, who everybody knows from his TV show, Guy Fieri, Sean McClain, Susan Senegal, Michael Mina. These are all top chefs in Vegas. And not only the top chefs in Vegas, these are some of the best chefs in the world.
Yeah.
And their restaurants are all represented in Vegas, and they're all together for one night. And they're talking to the crowd. They're serving you their food. It's $260 per person. And also includes all you can eat and all you can drink. And it's this just over-the-top event as only can be done in Vegas.
Yeah, this is really, they've only been doing this for like 12 years, and it seems to get bigger every year. So I wanted to alert people to this now, because put it on your calendar for next year. It happens in May. So Vegas Uncorked. It sounds incredible.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some deals in Vegas, because I know you've got some places, if you want to go to Vegas, where the best deals are hotel room-wise.
Yeah, so, you know, Vegas, they're always refurbing their towers and their rooms, and I stayed at Caesar's Palace. There's 6 towers, by the way, at Caesar's Palace, and they're all different. They all represent different levels of luxury, but I stayed in a new palace, in the Palace Tower, because they just finished a $100 million refurbishment of the Palace Tower. So Caesar's poured a lot of money into this tower. It's beautiful. A lot of that went to the villas, which are on the 29th floor. But for the rest of us, the standard rooms are really beautiful. They're all new. They're these double vanity marble bathrooms, quality linens, big rooms, 450 square feet. And midweek, they're, you know, I've seen them as low as $150, which I think is a great value.
Yeah.
On a really luxurious room at Caesar's Palace. Actually, just across the street at the Flamingo, for a lower price point, they just refurbed them, you know, over 1,000 of their rooms. And it's a beautiful design. There's a lot of cool artwork in the room, kind of paying tribute to the original Strip Hotel, which was the Flamingo, was the first resort on the Strip. Some historic photographs. And I think it's a great place to stay, and rooms there I've seen for as low as $100 a night.
David, I know I'll probably never be able to afford this, never be asked to be a special guest slash whale, as they call it in Las Vegas. But if ever I did end up in a villa, I've always wondered, what are these Vegas villas like?
So these Vegas villas are pretty incredible. They were previously reserved for casino comps. So if you were a high roller, if you were a whale, you know, they would comp you and fly you into Vegas and put you in one of these villas. Now they're actually available for rent to the average guy like you or me, if we can afford it per night, you know, starting at about $10,000 per night and up, of course. But these villas are, you know, starting at about, I'd say about 5,000 square feet and up. Some are as much as 10 or 12,000 square feet. They're these like palatial homes, all on one level, some on two levels, and with butler service. So this one floor at Caesar's Palace Tower is serviced by butlers, and these are all villas. And so that's where the whales stay. That's where the people who really want to spend a lot per night can stay. Some people will actually rent out a villa for a party and host a party there. But they're pretty incredible, you know, great multiple bathrooms, multiple bedrooms, great views. Some have small pools or jacuzzis in them, and they're serviced by butlers.
Pool.
yeah, and they're serviced by butlers. So it's a pretty incredible
lifestyle. Incredible. All right. What about some of the restaurants? As we talked about earlier, obviously Vegas is now known for if you're a foodie, it's a great place to go. What are some of the hot new restaurants for the summer of 2018?
Yeah, so I just tried out a few of the hottest new restaurants. There's one at the MGM Grand I want to tell you about. It's called China Tang. So this is an operator from Hong Kong. This is their first restaurant in the U.S. They sent their chefs from Hong Kong over. It's really high-end Chinese cuisine in this beautiful environment. Their dim sum is great. What I particularly like is their Beijing duck. So they do this Beijing duck preparation where they bring it out to the table and present it, carve it, serve it with the traditional hoisin, Chinese pancakes, and scallions. And then they take the duck away, they carve off the rest of the meat, and bring it back in a second dish, like duck noodle soup, or sometimes duck walked with bean sprouts. Just two great dishes made from the same duck. It's a beautiful presentation and delicious. It's really high-end Chinese dining, and there's only a couple other restaurants at that level in Las Vegas, so I would try China Tang at the MGM Grand. And then in front of Caesar's, Gordon Ramsay just opened his fifth restaurant in Vegas, and that's called Hell's Kitchen, just like his TV show.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the restaurant kind of looks like the set of the show inside. He's serving his signature dishes there, including his beef Wellington, sticky toffee pudding. And this is right now, it's the toughest table to get in Vegas. It's a tough reservation to get. It's extremely popular. Everyone wants to eat there. And inside of Caesar's, there's a small restaurant by Giada De Laurentiis, who's got her namesake restaurant across the street at the Cromwell. That's a fine dining place. But Pronto by Giada at Caesar's is kind of a fast, casual, grab-and-go place. You can get her sandwiches. She makes smoothies, gelato, some other hot breakfast dishes. It's a great place, and there hasn't been anything like it in Caesar's. If you don't want to spend a lot of time and sit down in a restaurant, you can grab something and take it. There's places to eat there. It's very casual and very reasonably priced.
Man, you know what, David? You really are the Vegas guru. Nobody knows Las Vegas better than you. I'm so excited when I have you on the show because you give stuff that nobody else gets. I love it. I love it. All right.
Thanks.
I heard a couple weeks ago that Florida Georgia Line, and since I'm a country guy, is going to have a residency in Planet Hollywood. But there's so many of these now. So many people are going to Las Vegas to do residencies. And the MGM is kind of on the forefront of all this, too.
Yeah, they are. So there's a new theater I wanted to tell you about. So there's a lot of mini residencies in Vegas, you know, all over town now. And it's a really popular concept. So these artists come in for a few nights, leave, come back again a few months later for a few nights. Vegas is a great place to play. They typically sell out the showrooms, so why not, right?
Yeah.
It's a great venue. And the newest concert venue is called the Park Theater. It's at the New Park MGM, which I was just telling you about, previously the Monte Carlo. I love this venue. Of all the theaters in Vegas, I think this is the best right now. It's a little bit smaller. It's about 5,000 capacity. Great sight lines from everywhere. I just saw Ricky Martin there. He put on a great show. It's great digital imagery. It's just a new theater really built for concerts, and it's great. So at the Park MGM, Bruno Mars is going to be there this year off and on, Cher. They just signed Lady Gaga for later this year. So the Park MGM is really my favorite new concert venue in Vegas.
So you get a chance to see Bruno Mars in a theater of only 5,000. I mean, that doesn't really happen anywhere else anymore.
Right. Right, yeah. Right, exactly, exactly. So it's a relatively small venue as opposed to some of concert venues in other cities.
Yeah. All right. What's the one new show in Vegas that you think is going to be a big hit?
Yeah. So I like this new show. It's been there just a few months. It's called Wow World of Wonder at the Rio, just off the Strip. So this is a family friendly show. You know, it's kind of difficult to categorize, but I would describe it as a water based musical variety show featuring these amazing and really dangerous acrobatic and specialty acts set amid this 180-degree wraparound LED wall with 3D and holographic projections. It's wild. There's a lot of stimuli all around you.
Oh, another one of those shows. Right. Yeah, it's like I've never heard of anything like that before.
Right. Check off that box, put it in that category. Right. Yeah. It's another one of those shows. No, there's nothing like it, actually. And the show's actually played in a few other locations around the world, and it's non-language dependent, so there's not much language in it, but it's beautiful to watch. And the finale is this incredible act by an artist called Sylvia Sylvia. And she does this act with crossbows where she shoots 7 crossbows and the last one shoots an apple on her head. And it's just an incredible
her own. She shoots the crossbow to get her own apple off her own head.
She shoots a crossbow into a target, which sets off a series of 7 other crossbows that ultimately one actually hits an apple on her head. It's incredibly dangerous. It's amazing to see. She does it every night in the show, and it's worth it just to see for that. It's World of Wonder, Wow, at the Rio. Tickets start at about $49. I've actually seen it on Groupon for a little bit less. And
how do you practice that act?
How do you practice and survive that act?
Yes, because you have to shoot the first arrow to get the other arrows to go off. I mean, if you had a test dummy, you still have to be where the first arrow, you know?
I know. Believe me, I thought of the same thing. How did she practice that? But
wow.
She's been doing it for, I talked to her after the show, she's been doing it for about 30 years. And so she's got it down.
All right. That's incredible. You so piqued my interest. I'm like, I kind of want to see this.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, before I let you go, what's the best kept secret right now in Las Vegas?
Yeah, so you know, I occasionally let one of my best kept secrets out of the box. And
yes.
There's a show at the Palazzo called Baz, Star-Crossed Love. That's B-A-Z, Star-Crossed Love. It's been playing for almost 2 years, but it doesn't get the notice I think it deserves. So this is a musical inspired by some of Baz Luhrmann's most romantic films, Romeo and Juliet, Moulin Rouge, and The Great Gatsby, if you've seen any of those.
Yes.
It's this movie musical mashup, and with really impressive performances by vocalists, actors, and dancers. The stage pushes out into the audience. It's a relatively small theater. I think it's a great show, and ticket prices start about $65, but I've seen it discounted, sometimes 2-for-1. I think it's a good, great show to catch, and a lot of people don't know about it. It's Baz, Star-Crossed Love at the Palazzo.
Boy, and how many people love those movies, Moulin Rouge especially.
Great, great movie, and some of the songs from that movie, and it's just beautifully produced and done.
All right. David, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Same here, Hawkeye. Great to talk to you.
Once again, I highly suggest you follow David, the Vegas guru, on his Twitter account. And you can find his Twitter account if you click on Travel with Hawkeye's blog. We'll have a blog post for this episode. I want to thank David and, of course, Jack Osborne also for being part of this podcast. My name is Mark Hawkeye Lewis. The world is out there. Your adventure awaits. This has been the Travel with Hawkeye podcast.